Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Kedushin Samech Tes. Thank you, Lupin Foundation, for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is known as Zeichin Nishmat Lupin Gabriel Bashmuel. We begin today in Samech Tes Amud Beis towards the bottom of the Amud. And we're just finishing up the Gemara from yesterday. This takes us back to the Mishnah that was introduced to us all the way back on Samech Vav Amud Beis. The Mishnah back there told us that there are four categories of unions, of marriage unions, where in these four categories, the result is going to be different for all four categories. If it's category number one, if it's a tfisas kedushin, the kedushin is effective and there's no aver whatsoever in the marriage, it's a totally legitimized marriage, so then the status of the child follows the father. Category number two of the Mishnah is where there's tfisas kedushin, the kedushin is effective, but it's an avera. The best example for that would be a lav in the Torah. And so the child is going to follow the pugum. It's going to follow whatever is the taint in either mother or father. The child is going to carry that taint with him. The third category of the Mishnah is where there is no tfisas kedushin. It's an iser. It's an isure kares. It's one of the arais in the Torah. So then the resulting child is going to be a mamzer. And finally, category number four is where there is simply no tfisas kedushin, neither for you nor for anybody else. I.e., she is not Jewish, or she is a shifcha kananis. Under those circumstances, So the resulting child follows her. She will be the determinant of what the child is. She's not Jewish, the child is simply not Jewish. Where do we know these halachas from? So from the Mishnah, so that's what the Gemara has been covering the last couple of dapim. And we're finishing up over here. We're on the bottom of Samech Tes Amud Beis. And the Gemara says, where's the source? So, Mechlal dit mikar lo tafse ba ashkechan de lo tafse ba kedushin. Let's start just a little bit earlier than that. So, v'acharkein tavo ala uvalta. Okay. El rabban my time. There we go. We are on Samech Tes Amud Beis. We're about two-thirds of the way down to short daf. So the Gemara here is now trying to explain this source for the lacha from the Chachamim's perspective. So as far as Rabbi Shimon's concerned, he's Dorish time and dekra. Meaning anytime you have a situation in which you're going to have a marriage where the kiyasir, where your son-in-law is going to be removing him from Yadus, so then it's clear from there that the child, that your grandchild, meaning your daughter's child, is considered Jewish, and your son-in-law is going to be removing him from Yadus. Okay, that was the source for Rabbi Shimon, and even though, we did this at the end of yesterday's daf, and even though if you look at the psukim there, contextually it's talking about the Shiva Amamim, but Rabbi Shimon is Dorish time of Dekra, meaning that anytime you have a son-in-law who's not Jewish, regardless of what nationality he comes from. He comes from the seven Canaanite nations. He comes from anybody else. He's going to be removing your grandchild away from Yadus. So that was according to Rabbi Shimon. El al Rabbanu my taima. But according to the Chachamim, they're not Dorish time of the cross. So what's their source? Amakrav acharkein tavo alaha uve alta. So he learns it from Eishes Yufas Torah. The Torah says that only after conversion you're allowed to marry her. So mechlal demikar lo tafsi bakedushin. So that gives the indication that before Gerus, there simply would be no tefisas kedushin. Ashkechan de lo tafsi bakedushin. Fine. There's no tefisas kedushin, but now, well, how do we know about the status of the child? Amarka kisi enelish v'yaldu lo. When there is havaya, when there's tefisas kedushin, so then the later will be attributed to him. Kol hecha de karina be kisiena, karina be v'yaldu lo. V'chol hecha de lo karina be kisiena, lo karina be v'yaldu lo. Okay. So the Gemara says that there's a correlation, a positive correlation between havaya, meaning tefisas kedushin, and attribution to him. If there is tefisas kedushin, so then we can attribute it to him. If there is no tefisas kedushin, so then the child is not attributed after him, but rather after the mother. Okay. Ihachi shivcha nami. So the Gemara says, once you have the source is outstanding. In fact, not only does the source explain why the child of a non-Jewish woman is considered not Jewish, but then it also explains why the child of a shivcha kananis is going to be considered a shivcha kananis. It's going to follow her mother. Meaning, because for the shivcha kananis, there simply is no tefisas kedushin, therefore the child is going to follow her. So now we already have a source. We have a source not only for a nachris, but we also have one for shivcha kananis as well. And nachinami, the Gemara says, I concede the point. You're correct. So then one loose end we need to tie up, and that is now that we no longer need the source of ha'isha v'yalda tiyala adoneha, which is found in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, which was the source we had previously that told us that the child of a shivcha kananis is considered follows the mother. We no longer need that source. So what is it there to serve as? To teach us a different halacha. So the Gemara teaches us a different halacha. halacha, and that is the following. Ha'omer l'shivcha, so we're now in the top of Samach Tes Amud Aleph. A person turns to a shivcha and says to her, Hare at bas chorin v'vladecha eved. Let's say the owner emancipates his pregnant Shivcha Kananis, but would like to retain for himself the fetus, the unborn fetus that's inside of her. So what's the halacha? Havlad kamosa div Rav Yosi Aglili. So according to Rav Yosi Aglili, the fetus has the same status as the mother. If mom goes free, the fetus goes free as well. And the chachamim omrim divarev kayamim, and the chachamim say no, he can make the split. He could free her, but retain the fetus that's inside of her. That could be the machlokas. That could just simply.
That's a pretty strong.
The Gemara doesn't develop this machlokas, and the Gemara doesn't go into the machlokas, but that could very well be the machlokas, whether or not the fetus is considered an extension of the mother, a limb of the mother, or an independent entity.
What about conversion? She's converted.
No, but well, she's not converted. She's a shivcha kananis.
No, but would that be the same thing? Could she convert?
That certainly doesn't work that way. You can't do. We're just talking right now about a shivcha kananis. Okay. So Aisha v'yaleti aladaneha my tamuda. Now the Gemara says now the drasha, meaning at this point in time the Gemara doesn't know who is the drasha being applied towards. But the Gemara says Amrava adrav yosek lili. So the Rava says no, the drasha that we're now using is for Rav Yosi Aglili, meaning that. The Gemara thought for a moment that the drasha was for the chachamim, and that of course makes no sense, because the drasha is telling us that she and her fetus are linked, are connected together. And according to the chachamim, well, the owner could separate. I'm going to free the mother, but I'm going to keep the fetus for myself. So then the Gemara's answer is no, you missed the point. The drasha was not for the chachamim, the drasha was for Rav Yosi Aglili. Now that works out really well, because according to Rav Yosi Aglili, a person cannot make that split, meaning if you're going to free the mother, the fetus is going to go with the mother as well. Why should that be? Ha'isha v'iladeh t'yaladoneha. Exactly that. The drasha is coming to tell us that they're a package deal. Okay. Adkan. Okay, so that was the Mishnah going all the way back to Samach Vav Amud Beis, and that covers now the last two dapim of the Gemara, Samach Zayin and Samach Ches, that gives us the sources for these halachas of the four categories. Finally, the last Mishnah here in the third parak of Kiddushin, famous Mishnah, I would say, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Yecholam Mamzerim Litahir. So Rabbi Tarfon says, I have a solution. In other words, a Mamzer is a problem, and it's a problem which, without the Mishnah, without Rabbi Tarfon's solution, it's a problem without a solution. And not only that, it's an indefinite problem, meaning that you're a mamzer, so that means that whoever you marry, it doesn't matter who you marry, whether you marry somebody who's Jewish or mamzer, regardless, the status of the child is that the child is going to be a mamzer. And then that'll continue to the next generation, v'chule, v'chule, and that'll continue going. And so therefore, it creates a problem without an end to it. So Rabbi Tarfon says, I have not a 100% solution, but I have a 50% solution to the problem. You'll see why I chose those numbers. So Rabbi Tarfon Amar Yecholam Mamzerim Litahir. So there's a way for Mamzerim to become Tahor and Ketzad, and what's exactly the strategy? Mamzer Shenasa Shivcha. You'll have a Mamzer marrying a Shivcha. Now, is a Mamzer allowed to marry Shivcha? Stay tuned, we're going to discuss that. Right now, we're just going over the plan. So a Mamzer will marry a Shivcha, Havlad Eved, and then what's going to happen is that they have a child. Now, what did we learn in the previous Mishnah? That when you're in category number three, where the mother, sorry, not category number three, well, I take that back. We're in category number four, when the mother, there's no Tfisus Kedushin for the mother, period. In this case, there is no Tfisus Kedushin, so then the resulting child is going to follow the mother, and exclusively the mother. So this is a way to basically remove the father from the equation. So then Shenasa Shichra Vlad Eved. So then the child is going to be an Eved, and then Shichra, and then you're going to free the Eved, and Nimsa HaBen Ben Chorin, and then the child is going to be an emancipated Jew with no Yichus to his father, and therefore that is going to be a partial solution to the Mamzerus. Now I continuously have said that's a partial solution. Why isn't it a full solution? Because this is only going to be an option for Mamzerim, meaning the male population of Mamzerim. A Mamzeris, you can't go the other way. You can't have a Mamzeris marrying an Eved Kenani, for reasons which we're going to articulate in just a moment.
How could the son of a Shiva Kenani become Jewish by birth?
Not going to become Jewish by birth. That's exactly the point. He's going to, when he's born, he's going to be an Eved. He's going to be born as an Eved Kenani, and then you free him. And now, and
he's going to convert after he's free.
The word conversion over here is somewhat unnecessary, right. Meaning you free him. that freedom, that emancipation, makes him a full-fledged Jew. I mean, you could use the word conversion, but it's just, it's not necessary to use that term. Okay. Rebbe Lazar Omer Hareza Evan Mamzer. Rebbe Lazar says, no, the status of the child is an Evan Mamzer. Meaning that when they have a union of a Mamzer and an Evan Kanani, the resulting child is not just an Evan Kanani, but still has the lineage, the yichus of his father, not the yichus you want, but still has the psul of the father, and so the resulting child is going to be an Eved Mamzer, and so basically Rabbi Eliezer rejects this solution of Rabbi Tarfon. Ibai Luhu. The Gemara's question over here is a very straightforward question, and that is Rabbi Tarfon lechachila kamar di'evi kamar. Rabbi Tarfon is talking about this is a solution that we should actually endorse and promote and tell people this is what they should do, or b'di'evin. Meaning Rabbi Tarfon is not telling you that this is something we should be promoting, but here's something you could do if you want to get rid of it. Not that we're promoting it, and this is simply b'di'evin. How is Rabbi Tarfon approaching this solution? So Tashma, the Gemara says, well, I think we can arrive at the conclusion based on a little extra dialogue that's given to us by the Braisa. Amru lo le Rebbe Tarfon, so we don't get this in the Mishnah. We get this only from the Braisa, extra dialogue. So they say to Rebbe Tarfon, Tihartas as Zecharim velo Tihartas Nekevos. Ah, wonderful. You were Mitar Zecharim, but you were not Mitar Nekevos. Meaning, basically the Chachamim said to Rebbe Tarfon, you only solved half the problem. So it's not a full solution. Now, to be quite honest, by the way, and I'm going to explain a couple of points in just a moment, but to be quite honest, I don't even understand this as a criticism. Meaning, if you have a solution, even though it's only 50%, 50% is better than 0%. So even as a criticism of Rabbi Tarfon, it's hard to understand how this actually serves as a criticism. But anyway, we're going to... But okay, let's go over. Iyamar lechatchila kamar mamzeres nami tinasev la'avda. So the Gemara says now, if what Rabbi Tarfon is suggesting is a real solution, and this is lichatchila, so the Gemara says, so then mamzeres nami tinasev la'avda. So then let's have not only the mamzerim, meaning the males, marry a shifcha kananis, but let's do it the other way around. Meaning let's have a mamzeres marrying an eved kanani. Now at this point, at this juncture, what is the what is the Gemara thinking right now? Meaning the Gemara is entertaining this idea that we should have both male and female mamzer and mamzeres marry either a shivcha kananis or eved kanani respectively. So the Gemara is saying if Rabbi Tarfon was saying this lechatchila, then we should have gone both ways. What's the Gemara thinking at this point in time? So most probably, and Rashi says this, is that what the Gemara is thinking is as follows. First of all, Rabbi Tarfon's suggestion. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Let's go back to the original point of Rabbi Tarfon. Have a mamzer marry shivcha kananis. Now, is that legit or is that not legit? Meaning, it's a simple question which I'm raising. How can a mamzer marry a shivcha kananis? Now, mamzer is a Jew. Okay, we know a Jew is not allowed to marry a shivcha kananis. Now, how do we know that? How do we know that? So the Torah never states it with absolute clarity that there is an iser gomer to marry a shivcha kananis. We know from the pasuk of lo ye kadesh vekadesha. The Torah says that you're not allowed to be a kadesh. Now, what exactly that means? So if you look at Targum on the pasuk over there, it means that you're not allowed to marry a shivcha kananis. And what Rashi over here suggests, in terms of the Pshat and our Gemara, is that maybe that Isser in the Torah, that you're not allowed to marry Shivcha Kananis, is only limited to a Kasher. But maybe, if you are a Mamzer, you are not incorporated in this Isser in the Torah. That is what the Gemara is suggesting right now. And if that's true, so now the Gemara is suggesting is, if that's correct, so then really there should be no difference whether you're a mamzer marrying a shivcha kananis, or if you're a mamzeris marrying an eved kanani. Meaning if you're not included in the sister in the Torah, so then it should go both ways. And that's if it were lechatchila. Now what if it were b'di'evid? So the Gemara is saying, well, if it's b'di'evid, then we're gonna limit it. Well, why? So as Rashi explains over here, well, we would limit it because, look, really it's not right. And really it shouldn't be done. But at least a mamzer, a male, can go somewhere else, disguise his identity, meaning it's not right, but I could at least envision how a mamzer is going to do it. A mamzeris Very difficult. It'd be very difficult for her to do so. So the Gemara says, I'll read the Rashi. I mean, I hear you. I'll read the Rashi. Vesa nekevas lo tiharta. Ein derech isha. Look, you see where I am in the Rashi? Vesa nekevas lo tiharta. Ein derech isha legalos mimkoma. Ulavakish tachbulo sinase beseser. Me'achas sheyesh mochem biyada. Okay. Now, I mean, I think I said it like Rashi said it. It's just not the way of a woman to do this. Okay, that's what the Gemara is thinking at this point in time. And what the Gemara says is, Eved ein lo yach, ein lo chayas. So the Gemara says, no. You see, let's go back to our original suggestion, which is, Rabbi Tarfon is suggesting this, and not just suggesting it, he's promoting it. It's lechatchila. This is a real solution, but it only works for mamzerim, it doesn't work for a mamzeris. And the reason why is because when you have the mamzer marrying the shivcha kananis, so let's say it not only does it work, but lechatchila, it's good. The problem is, let's flip it. Let's have now the mamzeres marrying the eved kanani. You see, once she's a mother, and once there's no tefisas kedushin, so then the father does not play a role in the genealogy whatsoever. Meaning, as Rashi over here explains, Eved Kenani ein lochayis, eino misyachis achar aviv. There simply is no yichus between the Eved Kenani father and the child. Rashi goes on, Dichsev, Am HaChamor, Am HaDom LaChamor, Ke Behema She'ein Avlad Kruch Acharei Ha'av, Hilka Chimantzev La'avda, Lamehani Midi. It's just simply totally ineffective. The father, although biologically the father, halachically has no bearing on this child whatsoever. There's no Tisus Kedushin. It doesn't change the status of the child whatsoever. Okay, that's what the Gemara now is answering. That's the Maskanas HaGemara. So at this point in time right now, we raise the question. Rabbi Tarfon gave a solution. And now we know the solution only works for the moms, it doesn't work for the mamzeres. Is he promoting it? Is he endorsing it? Or is it just a b'di'evan? So the Gemara still is somewhere in the middle of trying to answer that question. Tashma. Ushbezichinin, sorry, it's a hard word. Ushbezichni de Rabbi Simlai, mamzer. Ahava. So the landlord of Rabbi Simlai was a mamzer. I'm sure Rabbi Simlai was not the first person in the course of history that referred to his landlord as a mamzer. But over here, but over here, however, he meant it as a little bit more than just a pejorative. In other words, he really was a mamzer. So, okay. And what Rabbi Simlai says to his landlord is, I wish I knew you earlier in life. Had I known you earlier in life, I would have given you advice, and I would have told you exactly how you could have extricated the issue of mamzer. It's not for you, obviously. For you, you're a mamzer, and you will continue to be. But in other words, for your children. Unfortunately, you already got married, and you already had children. Had I known you earlier, I could have solved the problem. Now, if Rabbi Tarfon's solution was a lechatchila solution, I understand the comment of Rabbi Simlai. Elai amar di'eved, but if it was only b'di'eved, my new demansiv le'etza. So now, if it's only b'di'eved, what advice could Rabbi Simlai have given? Rabbi Simlai would have given advice which really shouldn't be doing, but in other words, that's something that I can't imagine Rabbi Simlai doing. So the Gemara says, v'amar le'zil genov v'izdabim be'eved ivri. So the Gemara says, well, maybe he would have given the following advice, although this sounds a little bit shady. The Gemara says, well, maybe he would have told his landlord, again, had he met him earlier in life, well, you know what, go steal something, be unable to pay back that which you stole, and Beis Din is going to sell you into slavery. And now you'll be an Eved Ivri. And as we learned over the course of the first parak of our Masechta, as an Eved Ivri, just give me a moment, as an Eved Ivri, you're allowed to now marry a Shivcha, you're allowed to be coupled together with a Shivcha Kananis. I keep editing myself when I say an Eved Ivri is allowed to marry a Shivcha Kananis. That's not the right way to say it. There's no marriage. In other words, but an Eved Ivri is allowed to be coupled with a Shivcha Kananis, and you're allowed to produce children. And okay, and that all would have been good. Now Ben asked a question, and it's the right question to ask. Meaning the Gemara says, well, what kind of advice would he have given had this only been b'di'evid? And the Gemara's answer is, well, he would have given advice to steal. Well, that's shady. Meaning stealing is not right. You're not allowed to steal. Rashi, of course, is bothered by this. Rashi says, so how do you understand this advice in the context of not being shady? So first Rashi says, Okay. Umishani de mince of leitz of amalei zil ganov v'tezav and levit ivri. Uteisha chumenteres lo. The machur based in Rabba Moshe Leshiv Kananis v'lo mocher atzmo. Ola hachinat zil ganov. Sorry. First long line of Rashi. Okay. Okay, you got to hear me find the place. Okay, ulahachinak is zilganov, vahu adinami matzilokshuri mishar lansuva eitzalamignev. Now, the Gemara could, at this point in time, ask a very simple question. Well, that's not advice that you should be giving. You go steal something. In other words, it's just simply, it's also shady advice. And it's more than shady. You're telling somebody to violate the Isser and the Torah of Geneva. You can't do that. Now, Rashi says at this point in time, the Gemara could have asked that question. Ela makshe acheres salke. The avamakshe leha havamatzilishnuye. So the Gemara says, yes, at this point in time, you're right, Rashi. Says the Gemara could have asked that question. Ela de amale mechoratz mechalevet ivriu cherebi leaz adama perakama zevazer rabba mosalo shivcha kananis. Well, and because the, as we'll see in the Gemara, there's a way where you could sell yourself as an Eved Kanani. Let me do that correctly. You could sell yourself as an Eved Ivri, and so then we basically avoid the issue. So basically, Rashi writes, you know what, the Gemara could have asked that question. The Gemara just sidestepped that question, but en achinami. That would have been a question that the Gemara could have asked as well. So the Gemara says, me of the... The Gemara says here, look, fundamentally, what are we even talking about? There is no institution of Eved Ivri during the years of Rabbi Simlai. The Hamar Amar ain't Eved Ivri Noeg, Elab is Masha Yovel Noeg. The only time that Eved Ivri is Noeg is only when there's Yovel. But if Yovel's not Noeg, Eved Ivri is not Noeg. Now, when did Yovel actually stop? So we already discussed, right? We already discussed that it could be dated as far back as the first temple, where Yovel no longer applied. Meaning, the moment that this is what Rashi said back earlier in the Masechta, earlier back in Gittin as well, that when Sanherif took the 10 northern tribes and displaced them, and we no longer have the majority of the Jewish people represented by every tribe living in Eretz Yisrael, so then there's no longer Yovel, and that already was during Bais Rishon. So you could whatever. The point is that in the generation of Rabbi Simlai, there was no Yovel, and therefore there is no institution of Eved Ivri. And so, what are we even suggesting according to Rabbi Simlai? So, now that Eved Ivri is totally off the table and not even up for discussion, so now what are we left with? We're left with that Rabbi Simlai turned to his landlord, who was a mamzer, and he said to him, had I known you earlier, I would have advised you to do like Rabbi Tarfon. And there's no construct of Eved Ivri. So basically, what are we saying? What we're saying is that Rabbi Tarfon is saying it, lichatchila. And you don't need Eved Ivri as a way of getting into marrying a Shivcha Kananis. Meaning, no. A mamzer is allowed to marry a Shivcha Kananis, and therefore you can work with the solution.
Is the offspring considered his child?
No.
So he hasn't really fulfilled the mitzvah for Rebu, right?
Huh? Oh, he talks about the mitzvah for Rebu? He quotes the Menchas Chinuch? Oh, anyway. Anyway, I could... Okay. Yes.
Rabbi Simlai could have given him Rabbi Tarfon's advice. No, not in the past. He can marry Shifra now and then have his kid.
But I'm saying the point is that there's no Eved Ivri, and because there's no Eved Ivri, so the only thing Rabbi Tarfon is saying is, go marry Shifra Kananis. That would be fine.
No.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but it's Mamzer is not to prove who, because what is he doing? Going to want more Mamzer?
Right. The Michal's kind of discusses that. Okay. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Shmuel, Lachik Rabbi Tarfon. And, so I'm sorry. So, Elalah Shmamina, Rabbi Tarfon, Lachachil Kama, Shmamina, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rabbi Shmuel, Lachik Rabbi Tarfon. And now, finally, the Gemara says, two points to conclude. Number one, that when Rabbi Tarfon makes the advice, he's saying so, Lachachil not b'dievet. And number two, is that the Gemara says that the Lacha falls like Rabbi Tarfon. Okay. So therefore, the solution, although, again, it's a partial solution, it's not a full solution, it only works for the Mamzerim, not for the Mamzeros, is that they can marry Shivcha Kananis, and the child would follow her, not him. The child will therefore be an Eved Kanani or Shivcha Kananis, depending on whether the child is a male or a female, and then you free them, and then the child goes free, and the child now is totally removed from the father's status of Mamzeros. Okay, nowadays the problem, of course, is that we don't have Shivcha Kananis. Meaning, in Rabbi Simlai's time, they didn't have it every. We don't have Shivcha Kananis. So we're really at a loss in terms of following the game path of Rabbi Tarfon, the solution of Rabbi Tarfon.
Because of Sancher, there's no such thing as Shiva Kakan. Like, you cannot identify like non-Jewish.
No. Even after Sancher, there were Evakanani Shukkanai Bisman Amorayim. Meaning that the, he, no that the, no 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 Sancheirov only removed wait hold on Sancheirov only removed Eved Ivri as a possibility.
No, but I'm saying that you're saying that a couple days ago, like, we don't even know who's a real Messi, who's not a real Messi.
That's
transpose everybody.
That part's
so
true.
What happened to the Kanan? They still stayed and they're
no. The term Rashi said the term, even though we use Eved Kanani, it's not specific to Kananim. It's just because. Right, Rashi said a couple days ago. Forgive me, I don't remember.
Seven nations that were there.
It's just because Canaan was cursed by Noach, so we refer to every slave as an Eved Kanani. But it's just nomenclature. But the truth of the matter is that any non-Jew who sold to slavery is an Eved Kanani, is a Shivka Kananis. Okay, so the. Just one last piece to do in the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar, Omer Harizev and Mamzer. I'm Rabbi Elazar, my time, de Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so just not to be confused, the Amori Rabbi Elazar is explaining the reason behind the Tana of Rabbi Eliezer. Amakra, lo halach achar psulo. When the Torah describes the Mamzer, it says lo, meaning that he, the Mamzer, is always going to insert his pagam into the child. So there's a chachamim say no. That's talking about Yisrael marries a mamzeres. Sakadat chamina lemishbachasam lebeis avasam. I might have thought that since the father is a non-mamzer, so maybe the child is strictly a non-mamzer. So ksiv asalo afke, and the word lo is coming to tell me no, that the mamzer is always going to insert his pagam into the child. So now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, doesn't he subscribe to this point? So Achanami, the Gemara says, yeah. Avagav dechsiv aishav yaladet yel adonah asalo afke. So yeah, the Rabbi Eliezer would agree, but Rabbi Eliezer would also go one step further, and that is that despite the fact that the Torah says that his shivcha kananis and his children belong to our master, still when the father is a mamzer, the father is inserting his pagam into the child as well. V'rabbanan kol vlad b'mei shivcha kananis kevlad b'mei b'hem adami. And the Chachamim say no, that's just simply not true. The fetus inside the Shefer Kananis has no status of a Jew whatsoever, even if the father is a mamzer, has no status of a Jew, and therefore the Chachamim just reject this drasha of Rabbi Eliezer. Hadron Lachaomer, that's the end of the third parak of the Masechta, and let's begin. Let's begin the final parak, fourth and final parak of Masechta Kedushin, and really of Seder Nashim. Less than a couple weeks away, before we finish Seder Nashim. Okay, just a little historical introduction over here. We were given permission to build, to rebuild Bayis Sheni. There is just, this is a historical note. You can ignore me for the next minute if you'd like. There is a discussion of when the Bayis Sheni was rebuilt historically. Our tradition is that the Bayis Sheni lasted for 420 years. The secular view of Jewish history is that Bayis Sheni lasted a lot longer. Right? According to secular historians, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the year 586, and then we rebuilt the temple in 516 BCE. So that means that according to secular historians, the second temple lasted for almost 600 years, okay, approximately, and from 516 BCE till 70.
Second temple was how long?
According to secular historians, it lasted for almost 600 years. We, on the other hand, we have a tradition, it's based on Seder Olam, that the second Beis HaMikdash only lasted for 420 years. So that means that, based on our history, second Beis HaMikdash was actually built, not in 516, but somewhere in the 300s, BCE. Okay. Again, you could have ignored me then, that's fine. I have a book somewhere in my buried somewhere in my house on this topic, and at one point in time when I was younger, I read it. Okay, but anyway, but in the meantime, however, when we came up to build Bayis Sheni, so what happened? So we were we were sent into Galus, and we lived. We lived under Babylonian rule. Of course, Bava was then conquered by the Persians and the Medes. And so, when we were expelled from Eretz Yisrael, there were the king of Bava at the time was Nebuchadnezzar, then replaced by his son Evel Merodech, and then replaced once again by Belshazzar. Those are your three Babylonian kings. After that. So then Paros and Madai took over, conquered the world, and story of Purim, and permission was then granted for the Jewish people to go back to Eretz Yisrael and to rebuild by Sheni. Okay, and credit for that goes to Daryavesh, who at the time was the Persian king, who granted permission to the Jewish people. We have Midrashim that indicate that Daryavesh was the son of Ahasuerus and Esther. Okay. That is, and when we came back to Eretz Yisrael, so how was that? What was the reaction of the Jewish people at the time? Basically, not a spectacular reaction. Most of the Jewish people at the time living in Bavel, were comfortable in Bavel, and quite frankly, didn't want to go back to Eretz Yisrael. So history ends up tends to repeat itself. This is just a good example of that, and that we, for the most part, the Jewish people did not go back up together with Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah went going up back up to Eretz Yisrael, so they took with them the Talmid Chachamim, and they took with them basically. I'm saying this just as a factual statement. They took the rejects of the Jewish people back with them, for reasons which we're going to actually articulate within today's daf. In terms of why I say rejects, I mean people who did not have a solid yichus, people who were questionable, kids basically taken off the street. We don't know who their mother is. We don't know who their father is. Basically, Ezra and Nehemiah took them together with them. It was only really a small representation of the Jewish people who came back together with Ezra and Nehemiah to help rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, we're going to even discuss this as well a little bit later this morning, and that even the Levim, for the most part, didn't go together with Ezra and Nehemiah into Eretz Yisrael. So it really was a struggle. It was an unbelievable struggle to go leave Galus. Right, which by the way was only 70 years. I mean, we're here in Galus now for a couple thousand years. The Galus was only 70 years. To leave Galus to go back to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the Beis Sheni. And what our Mishnah is going to be doing is within this historical context of Ezra and Nehemiah leaving leaving Galus to build Beis Sheni. So our Mishnah over here is going to be describing who they took with them to Eretz Yisrael to restart Eretz Yisrael with the second base of Mikdash. That is our Mishnah. With all that stated, let's start. Asar Yochsen Alu Mi Bavel. There were 10 generations. Sorry, wrong. Asar Yochsen. There were 10 categories of lineage that came up from Bavel. So basically, all the Jewish people who came up from Bavel is going to fit into one of these 10 categories. They are 1 Kohanim, 2 Levim, 3 Yisraelim, 4 Chalalim, meaning a Kohen who was born from a illicit marriage, right? His father was a Kohen, his mother, let's say, for example, was a Grusha, so he is a Chalal. 5 is Gerim, 6 Charurim, and now Charurim are freed slaves. Now, a free slave is very much like a Ger, but clearly our Mishnah segregates the two and puts a Ger and an Eved HaNishtacher in 2 different categories. That's 5 and 6. 7 are Mamzerim. 8 are Nesinim. 9 and 10, Shesuki V'Asufi. Which, not today, but the Mishnah is going to touch on it very quickly. But in the later Dapim, we're going to discuss them in more at length. Okay, now, in these 10 categories of Yichus that came up together with Ezra and Nehemiah to build Bayis Sheni, so, Kohan Levi V'Yisrael Mutarim Levo Zebezeh. Now, if you take the first 3 of the 10, so they are perfectly legitimate Jews, and therefore they're all allowed to intermarry amongst one another. Levi Yisrael V'Chalali Geri V'Charurim Mutarim Levo Zebezeh. Now, if you want to draw a second circle in these 10, and this circle is going to cover Levim, Yisraelim, Chalalei, Gerei, V'Charurei, numbers 2 through 6, okay, and they are allowed to marry one amongst the other. Mutarim Levo Zebezeh. You see, as a Chalal, you can't marry a Kohen. As a Ger, you can't marry a Kohen. As a Charuri, you can't marry a Kohen. So that's why you're going to draw a second circle around these 10, and that's going to cover 2 through 6. Gere v'charure mamzere unesine shesuke v'asu kula matern lavo zebezet. And then you'll draw one more circle. And this circle is going to start at the ger, at number 5, and it's going to cover all the way to number 10. And anyone listed 5 through 10 are allowed to marry one amongst the other. So basically, if I were to diagram, you would write up all 10, and you would have 3 circles. The first circle would cover 1 through 3, the second circle would cover 2 through 6, and the third circle would cover 5 through 10. And with as long as you are within one circle, you're allowed to marry somebody who is in that circle together with you. Okay. Elohim Shesuki, and then the Mishnah over here. And again, we're not going to dwell on this point now. Elohim Shesuki. What's the definition of a Shesuki? That was number 9. Koshu Umakir Simo Veino Makir Saviv. You know your mother is, but you don't know your father is. And a Sufi, and that's what the word Shesuki means. Shesuki means who's dad, and they basically hush the child. Like in other words, you know, right? Don't ask. Meaning whatever. So and then Veino Makir Saviv. A Sufi Koshu Natsaf Neshuk Veino Makir Lois Saviv Lois Imo. And then as far as a Sufi is concern, so a Sufi, the word ne'asaf, meaning he was gathered in from the marketplace, but we don't know who his mother is, we don't know who his father is. Abishal hayakor l'shesuki pedukin rabbi, and Abishal would refer to the shesuki as a peduki, and once again the Gemara later on will explain what exactly the significance of that statement is. Asar yuchsin alu mibavel. The first point the Gemara would like to sit on is the following. My irya detini alu mibavel nisni ahachuli eretz yisrael. Whenever traveling, there are two points of reference, where you're coming from and where you're going. So why alu mi bavel? Why not halchu l'eretz Yisrael? So milsa gavurchi kamashlanki detanya v'kamta valisa l'makom asher yivchar shem lokecha malamit shebeis hamikdash gavoa mikol eretz Yisrael v'eretz Yisrael gavoa mikol ha'aratzos. Because we want to focus on the word aliyah. The word aliyah means you are going up. Now the Gemara over here can mean physically. The Gemara can over here mean spiritually. You can go either way, but basically, when you're going to Eretz Yisrael, it's Aliyah, and that's the point. The Alu mi Bavel is that they're going up from Bavel. That's what the Mishnah wanted to teach us. So the Gemara says now, as far as the Beis Hamikdash being the highest point, so that the Gemara says, I have a pasuk in Chumash, Divrei Bisharecha Vikamt Ve'alita El Eretz. I'm sorry, Vikamt Ve'alita, and you're going to get up and you're going to go up. So you see a pasuk in Chumash that speaks to this idea that the Beis Hamikdash is higher. Ela Eretz Yisrael gavol mikol haratzos minalan. But where is the source? Meaning the Gemara is not interested in topography. The Gemara is interested in a pasuk in Chumash telling us that Eretz Yisrael is higher than all other lands. Dechsiv lachen hinei yamim ba'im namashem lo yamar od chay Hashem asher halas b'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim ki im chay Hashem asher halas v'asher hevi es b'nei Yisrael meretz tzafon mikol haratzos asher. So the Gemara over there goes on to explain that this is Asher He'ela, right? That the idea that when you go to Eretz Yisrael, it's also going to be considered an Aliyah as well. So the Gemara says, okay, great. You wanted the word Aliyah, that's great. But you could have said Alu l'Eretz Yisrael, meaning what's the focus on Bavel? Misayel the Rabbi Lazar, Damar Rabbi Lazar, Lo Allah Ezra mi Bavel, Acha Asa Kesolos Nikiyah VaAllah. So the Gemara says the focus on Bavel is as follows: Ezra took the Jewish people from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, but he wanted to make sure the following: he actually wanted the rejects, meaning. There was a vast population of Jewish people living in Bavel, and some of them had excellent yichus, knew the lineage, knew the family tree, right? You go to their house and you'd say, you know, who did you come from? Who's your mother? Who's your father? Who are your grandparents? Who are your great grandparents? And they have excellent genealogy, and they can trace themselves back. And then you had a lot of people there who were just simply totally unfamiliar with who their grandparents were, and as we're going to be discussing more at length, they didn't even know who their parents were. And so therefore, Ezra made a point of taking the rejects with him. He wanted them with him. Now why? So over here, Rashi says that they wanted to do this so that when leaving Bavel, he knew he was going to be taking together with him all the Talmidei Chachamim. So basically, he was going to be leaving Bavel more or less without Talmidei Chachamim. And so now what's going to end up happening is he basically didn't want Bavel to have these questions of, can I marry him? Can I marry him? Right? Am I allowed to marry him? So basically, Ezra and Nehemiah understood that part of their responsibility of being the leaders of the Jewish people, and because they were taking the Talmidei Chachamim with them to Eretz Yisrael, is that they were going to also take and shoulder the responsibility of taking, quote-unquote, these rejects together with them as well. Yes.
All these Amorim that we talked about in Bavel, who learned with Gal and Shmuel, they go back to Ezra's time, or they're there after the second...
Right, right. It's a great question. Now, the only thing I could tell you,
I understand.
The only thing I could tell you definitively is that Rav comes from Eretz Yisrael, meaning Rav wasn't even native to Bavel. That's clear. In terms of the genealogy of the Amoraim, who were in the Bezmana Gemara, were they dated all the way back to even before Bais Sheni? Could be. I don't know. Now, Itmar by Amar Alam Alam Tanan V'Rava Amar Halam Tanan. Machlokas Abai and Rava in terms of whether or not these rejects came on their own, or Ezra actually looked for and recruited these rejects to come together with them. So Abai says they came on their own, and Rava says no. Ha'alumtanan. Ezra actually recruited them to come together with him. And I say recruit, by the way, I don't mean that like, I mean like, you're coming with me. Now, v'kamiflagi b'de Rebbe, alazar damer abalazar lo Allah, Ezra mibava asha asa kolosos nikia. V'Allah. So, Rebbe Lazar is of the opinion that Ezra made it a point that he wanted Bavel, when he left Bavel, he wanted to leave Bavel like fine flour, sifted. And he was going to do the sifting, meaning he, Ezra, was going to do the sifting, and he was going to take out with him all the unwanted Jewish people together with him for the reasons that I explained earlier. Now, Abayilei said to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yisrael to Rabbi Lazar. And now this Amachlokes, Abayi and Rava, is just simply a reflection of whether or not you do or you do not subscribe to Rabbi Lazar. Abayi does not subscribe to Rabbi Lazar, and Rava does. Now, Ibai, Sam of the Gemara says, or maybe you could suggest to Kuleyam Yisrael to Rabbi Lazar. No, really, the truth of the matter is, everyone subscribes to Rabbi Lazar's rule. V'hacha ba'akam iflgi, mar savar ifrusha afreshuna, u'minavsheo saliku, u'mar savar balkar chayaskinu. So the Gemara says that maybe it went like this. Maybe before Ezra went up to Eretz Yisrael, he labeled. I know we don't. We generally speaking don't like labeling, but he labeled. You have good yichus. You don't have good yichus. You have good yichus. You don't have good yichus. And so basically, before Ezra went up to Eretz Yisrael, he gave everyone a label. And now, after giving everyone a label, now the machlokes in Abayin Rava is just merely a question of, after that, did they all, now all those who were labeled as basically rejects, did they go up together with Ezra? So Abai will tell you they didn't, and Rava says, no, they did. And that's exactly the point. Meaning, and you could subscribe to Rebbe Lazar, because what did Rebbe Lazar say? Bavel was fine flour. Meaning, even if they didn't go to Eretz Yisrael together with Ezra, but still, Bavel was fine flour. Why? Because before Ezra left, he labeled everybody. So everybody knew who I should marry and who I shouldn't marry. Bishlam alaman damar alo hainu damar Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel kol ha'aretzos Yisrael Eretz Yisrael v'Eretz Yisrael Yisrael Bavel. So the Gemara says, if you subscribe to... if you subscribed to Abai's position, which is that they weren't forced to go up, so then I can understand the statement of Shmuel that as far as all the lands are dough compared to Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is considered dough as it relates to Bavel. Okay, this idea of dough, as Rashi explains, the imagery of dough is what's in dough? A lot of things. Water, flour, spices, sugar, right? You throw eggs, you throw a lot of things into dough. So when you're referring to something as dough, basically it's a mix of a whole bunch of things. So, but Laman Damar Halum Meida Yadinu. So the Gemara says, however, if you are of the opinion of Ha'alum, so that means now that Ezra basically not only weeded out all the quote-unquote rejects of the Jews living in Bavel, but more than that, he took them up together with him in Eretz Yisrael. And the truth of the matter is now, is that in doing so, really what exists now are basically two sifted communities. There's a sifted community in Bavel, and there's also a sifted community in Eretz Yisrael as well. It's because even though Ezra took them up with him, but everyone knew who had a good yichus and who didn't have a good yichus. So the Gemara says, Nehidi yade la udar la darachita la yade. So the Gemara says, yeah, but even when Ezra took them up to Eretz Yisrael, so for the first generation, everyone knew who was good and who was not good. But after that, people have forgotten. And that's why, now you can understand the statement to Shmuel, that all the other nations are dough compared to Eretz Yisrael, meaning forget it. Like, they're totally a mixture of various Jews living outside of Eretz Yisrael compared to Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is considered dough as it relates to Bavel, meaning Bavel was totally expunged of all questionable yichus, and it was taken together with Eretz Yisrael. So there, that's how you can understand the statement of Shmuel. Bishlam lamanda amar aluch hainu dichsev vekapsen alanar haba al. Sorry, you'll forgive my reading. Al achva v'nena shami. I'm sorry. V'nachna shami yamim shlosha v'avina ba'am v'kohanim v'mnei levi lo matzasi sham. So you read the psukim in Ezra, the eighth parak of Ezra, and you will see that basically, when did Ezra take an accounting of who was with him? Only when he got to the river. Meaning, it certainly sounds like Abai is right that Ezra did not do any type of recruitment when leaving Bavel. He basically took stock of who was with him only when he got to the river. Elamanda Amar Halum Hamizar Zahiri. So the Gemara says, now if you subscribe to Rava's viewpoint that he recruited, so why now is he looking around and discovering, oh no, like who do I have with me? Nehidi Zahar Bipsulim Biksherim Lo Izahar. So the Gemara says, no, Rava could be right. Really, there was recruitment. And then as far as what Ezra is taking stock in, Ezra was recruiting the rejects. In terms of the Jews with good yichus, Ezra didn't do any type of specific recruitment. So that's what he was looking at as he was crossing the river to go into Eretz Yisrael. Okay. The obvious question which Rashi deals with over here is that the pasuk in Ezra seems to indicate that he was looking around for Levim and he couldn't find any Levim. Now the obvious question, Rashi asks this question, is if you look back at the Mishnah tells us that there were 10 categories of Yichus that came with Ezra and Eretz Yisrael, and number 2 on the list was Levim. Rashi says, I know the answer. Ve'avina ba'am, Rashi is more than halfway down on the page. Rashi writes, Mihayav, umi lo hayah. Shma mina lo yada Ezra mi Allah imo vi'i umi lo Allah imo. V'savashay yisham levim k'sherim v'lo matzah ru'uyim la'avoda el mi osan shekatsutsu b'onus yedehem b'shinehem. So Rashi over here, based on a medrash, tells us that there were levim over there, but the levim that were there together with him were not right to do the avoda. They bit off their thumbs. V'amru ech nashir shir Hashem b'mizmar al naros bavel she'amar lahem nevuchanetzer shiru lanu mishir tzion. Rashi over here, it's just such a tragic medrash. So Rashi over here quotes the medrash. Nebuchadnezzar turns to Levim. Levim were the choir. It was the original Jewish choir. And Nebuchadnezzar says, you know what? He turns to Levim. He says, sing me those songs that you used to sing while in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, they didn't want to do that. They were displaced. They were sent into the diaspora. They were exiled. They didn't want to sing. So, but to just simply say no to Nebuchadnezzar, they couldn't do that. So the medrash tells us how they bit off their thumbs. And they said, "Shirlanim b'shir tzion, amdu v'katzu b'honos yedehem b'shineihem." They cut off their thumbs with their teeth. V'amar lo ech nashir shir Hashem al admas nechar lo nashir lo namar ela ech nashir. Right? The medrash focuses on the fact that they didn't say lo nashir, but rather they said ech nashir. We can't sing. Ein lanu ba'me l'mishamish b'nimei hakinaros, meaning we can't play the instruments. It was those Levim who went up to Eretz Yisrael. Omenaksherim lo matza. Lefisha yoyoshim bebavel beshava vehaolim biyushalayim hayu beone v'torah chamalacha oveemes kol tzvi vosav v'anach levi diktani masisa mehanach delochazu la'avoda hayu. Okay, and that's Rashi basically saying now those are the Levim who went up together with Ezra, but nobody who was able to do the shir. Okay. So where do we stand right now? So we'll pause over here. So where do we stand right now? We finished the third paragraph of the Masechta this morning, finishing up the sources for the Mishnah, going all the way back to Samech Vav Amud Beis. Then we started the Mishnah of Rabbi Tarfon's solution of how to take the Memzeris and remove it for the next generation. A partial solution by Rabbi Tarfon. The Gemara had two conclusions. Number one, Rabbi Tarfon was lechatchila. Number two is that the halacha falls like Rabbi Tarfon. Our problem nowadays is that we can't employ the solution of Rabbi Tarfon because we don't have a Shifcha Kananis. Okay. Then the beginning of the fourth parak of the Masechta, 10 different types of Jews, genealogically types of Jews, came up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael to build Bayit Sheni. We went through the 10, and the Gemara's discussion is, why does the Mishnah say Alu mi Bavel? So we learned that Eretz Yisrael is above all other lands, and the Beit HaMikdash is above all lands, even within Eretz Yisrael. And then a question between Abai and Rava is that when Ezra took the rejects out of Eretz Yisrael, so was that a recruitment, or was that just simply whoever wanted to come came with them? Rava says it was a recruitment. Abai says no, they just came on their own. And the Gemara defended both positions. The Gemara did not resolve which of these positions is quote unquote more correct. Let's stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up.